Murray, I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are the real guys. This is Siren Radio, and this is the real show with two E's. The music you just heard was Ticket to Ride by the Beatles from 1965, from the Doctor Who episode The Chase from Series 2, Episode 8, which broadcast on the 22nd of May, 1965. What was that year like, Corey?
Smooth. It's the only way I can describe it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Are you a fan of the Beatles?
I know, I do, and I think they're very, very important, but I can't say I know a lot about them.
No, me too, I suppose.
Yeah.
But if you got a little clue from that opening line there, today's episode is on the Doctor Who series. Specifically, it's on The New Who, from its reboot in 2005, under Russell T Davies, Stephen Moffat, and Chris Chibnall. So, today we've got nothing better than a tier list. Now, for the listeners at home, what is a tier list, Corey?
So, I explained it last time, and I think I used a pretty good explanation. So I'm
going to have to explain it every time, mate.
Yeah, but I think I used a very good explanation last time. So, imagine you've got a bookshelf, right, or DVD shelf, with five shelves. And then you go, okay, I've got a DVD, Taxi Driver, or I can go to Top Shelf. It's favourite film, Top Shelf. And then you're going through, and it's like, Shark Tale. Oh, I can go in the middle shelf, it's not bad. That is essentially a similar concept to a tier list. So you get characters, you get films, you get franchises, whatever, and you go, right, that's top shelf, that's the best. That's bottom shelf, that's the worst. And you just order things in terms of shelves, essentially.
Right, so we're just going to order. Who are we ordering today, Corey?
We are ordering Doctor Who characters, including the Doctors themselves from The New Who, the companions, and also some of the villains.
Yes, indeed. We have five Doctors, the rest are companion characters, then we have 10 villains. Overall, that is 30 faces we're going to be putting onto this list. Shall we explain the categories, Corey?
I think we should.
Right, we'll reel one off each.
One each.
Haha, reel.
Nice.
We'll reel one off each. The top one is Reeltacular. That is the best of the best.
Yes.
If you are good, if you are A-star, you are getting Reeltacular.
Second tier, we have Just Like Sam Jackson. It's sizzling. Mm-hmm. Not quite up there, but you know what? You're still pretty good, pretty solid.
Yeah. Then we have Decent. It's middle of the road. It's, you can get better, you can get worse. You're in the middle. You're decent. Fair, decent.
Yeah. And then under Decent, we have you're watching it and it's like, it's not worst, but it doesn't really do anything either.
No. And then the bottom tier is Itchy and Lumpy, where you're just horrible. We just hate you. You're just
horrible. Awful.
You're no better. You're just itchy and lumpy. You're horrible.
Exactly.
No one wants to be around you. No one wants to see you.
Yeah.
You're just itchy and lumpy. You're really bad.
Yeah, and that's our five tiers.
Nice, nice. So shall we get crack-a-lacking and shall we tingle our molecules a bit and shall we get going?
I think we should.
Good. So who's first on the list today?
First is the man who started it all. It's Mr. Mm-hmm. Christopher Eccleston, the Ninth Doctor.
The Ninth Doctor. Well, he had a pretty good run for a couple of series. I can't quite... Oh, when did he regenerate? Was it the one with the Dalek Emperor? I don't know.
Yeah, he lasted for a season.
Right, okay.
And yeah, I think it was the Daleks that got him, I think.
Oh, right, nice. At the end, when Rose, Brun Rose became Bad Wolf.
Yeah, I believe you're
correct. Yeah, okay. So, where would you like to slot him? I think... He. I don't think he should quite go in Reeltacular.
I would say Sizzling.
Sizzling, yeah, that's fair. Sizzling is good. Sizzling is good. Put him in Sizzling.
Bang. There he is.
We might have to rattle some of these off quite quickly.
Yeah, well, the next couple of few, I think.
Okay, right. This is someone who deserves Reeltacular.
It is David
Tennant's Doctor, the 11th Doctor. He's already gone in Reeltacular, as I'm even describing him.
It's the 10th Doctor.
The 10th Doctor. Oh, did I say 11th?
Yes.
Oh, damn. Sorry, it's the 10th Doctor. It's David Tennant. It's, what does he say? He says...
Allons-y.
He says allons-y, doesn't he?
Yes.
And Christopher Eccleston says fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Because they've all got...
all got catchphrases.
They have. I like how that's a Doctor Who thing now. They have to have that thing they say when they, like, do the cool one-liner or do the cool moment. They have to say the catchphrase. That's nice. Now, that was an easy decision, by the way. Very easy. Now we've got Matt Smith. Actual 11th Doctor, wearing his fez, wearing his bow tie, with his sort of unique look. And they've all got very unique looks. I like that about the Doctors.
We do. It's the,
Christopher Eccleston has his you know, his leather jacket. David Tennant has his sort of sneakers and suit. And Matt Smith has his fez and his bow tie.
Bow tie.
I like fez. I wear a fez now. Fez is cool.
Man of multiple catchphrases as well.
Yeah, the man of multiple catchphrases. Why? What catchphrases does he have?
Well, he has the I wear fezzes now. He has the bow ties are cool, and he has Geronimo, which is what he says when he jumps off stuff.
Okay. Oh, nice. Well, where is he going to go, do you think?
I personally would whack him in real tackler.
Yeah, go on then. Whack him in real tackler.
Yeah. He is... Okay, I'll put him after Tennant, but he is my favourite one. He is my top Doctor.
Well, I don't think he's quite... Well, in terms of, like, longevity, I think Tennant has him beat on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Smith was Doctor for a long time.
Like 3 or 4 years, I think. Yeah, Tennant was Doctor for, like, 5, 6, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Tennant gets the edge on that.
Yeah.
Now we have Mr. Peter Capaldi himself. Yes. The 12th Doctor. So, where do you think he is going to... He has a couple of series under his belt.
Yeah. He's a bit of a throwback, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know much about him. I've only really ever watched his final season the whole way through.
I started watching when he was... I went from Smith to Capaldi.
Right.
I saw the first few episodes of Capaldi. I thought, mostly I was just watching for Clara. But when Clara did die with the Raven, spoilers, I sort of tuned out. I didn't really watch... didn't really watch for the rest of it, and then I sort of came back whenever, like, the Cybermen or the Daleks would come back, and then I started watching again when 13th showed up, but that was about it.
Yeah, so
he was
I...
was a bit of a middleman for me, Capaldi, sorry. But...
I stopped when Smith regenerated, and then I ended up watching the last season of Capaldi's when they were coming out episodically. From what I've heard... From what I've heard, he's not the best. His last season was definitely better, and it was somewhat enjoyable. It's not as good as the 9th, and it's not as good as 10 or 11, so I would say decent. I don't think he's bad.
Decent. Can I make an argument for Sizzlim?
You can, if you want.
Right. I think, as when you're a Doctor Who, you are sort of a custodian of sort of the franchise until you pass it on, right?
Yeah.
You are someone who sort of has that, owns that franchise and is sort of the face of the show until it's passed on to someone else.
Yeah.
That is the glory of the recast.
Yes.
The fact that someone can bring something different to it, but they are still that same sort of persona.
Okay.
And as custodian of the franchise, I think Peter Capaldi himself is a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, he is.
Like, there's that very famous story where he wrote to the Doctor Who fan club as a boy.
Yeah.
And he was sort of... ridiculed for it, but now he has served in that role. So I think also Peter Capaldi was he had a very almost Eccleston type style. I think he was very aggressive. He was very he was very forward thinking. But also he had that heart which Eccleston could bring as well.
Yeah.
So I think Peter Capaldi needs to go in Sizzlim.
Okay, we'll put him in. So to be fair, he did also. Got some gadgets. He's got the Doctor's guitar.
Yeah, he's got the Doctor Who sunglasses.
Got sunglasses.
And also he has the face of a man from Pompeii.
Yes, and the face of an angry cat.
Yeah. What?
Google it.
All right, okay. Now next we have Miss Jodie Whittaker, the 13th Doctor, the first female 13th Doctor.
Yes,
and
the current.
Where would she rank in this?
I think she's... From what I've seen, again, I've watched, like, the first season of hers.
Right.
I would rank her better than Capaldi.
Really?
I think
I prefer her. Is she going to go up to Sizzlim?
I think I preferred her to Capaldi.
Right, okay. I think Sizzlin is going to be in very good company.
Yeah.
You know, whack her in Sizzlin. Put her in Sizzlin.
Yeah.
13th Doctor, she's going to go in Sizzlin. There we go.
Now, the fun part.
We're on to the companion section.
Yes.
We may have a lot more indecent and or air.
Yeah.
Rose Tyler, Billy Piper, the first ever companion. She had everything on her shoulders because she had to be sort of the human element of it. The human element to sort of bring the bring that essence of humanity and sort of logical thinking to the Doctor. We're like, hold on, stop a minute, let's actually think about this. That's mostly what a companion serves.
Yes.
So I think Rose, and also, the best thing with a companion is when they're given something else to do. Like,
true.
Rose isn't just Rose, she's also Bad Wolf.
Yes.
And that is something that's sort of carried with her and her sort of destiny in a way. And I think that is really good, because I always like when the companions have something else to be or something else to do, or they're not just like, follow the Doctor around and make quips.
Yeah.
It's just, and observe things that he wouldn't normally observe. I like when they're given some other destiny. Like, Clara has the thing where she's like a infinity people.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what that's called in the show, but I know that's what it is. And when we get around to Clara, we will mention that. But Rose is Bad Wolf, and she's this sort of time entity, and I think that's amazing. Also, I quite like Billy Piper as an actress. She was in a Sky One thing called I Hate Susie, which I really thought was good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to make an argument for Realtacular. Will you support me on this?
That I don't even think is an argument, to be honest.
Right, nice. She goes in Realtacular.
I think that's quite
okay,
obvious.
Excellent. Now we have Mickey Smith.
Yeah.
It's Mickey boy. He's a good lad. He's a good friend to the Doctor. He gets some really cool action scenes. He always carries around a big gun. There's only really one place for him, and that is Sizzlin.
Interesting.
And what about you?
This might get me some heat. Obviously, you last time in the Avengers, right, you were like, oh, a group goes in like, eh.
A bit of a sledgehammer during the Avengers one,
yeah.
I'll admit.
I think, for me, I prefer Mickey to Rose.
Right.
Because I know Rose has the whole Bad Wolf thing and whatnot, but I think I preferred Mickey's story arc of meeting the Doctor and then, like, almost being jealous of him because of, or envious if you want to use the right word, because of the Doctor and Rose getting together. But then he has the arc of, like, he's this kind of, like, kid, or I guess young adult, who's not very good, and then he gets stronger, and then he meets Martha, who we'll get onto in a minute, and then they kind of become this, like, couple who just fight and have guns and shoot stuff, and it's this weird arc of, like, he then becomes this kind of, like, almost guy who's in charge, and he can kind of do what he wants, and he kind of goes on his own path, and I kind of enjoy that.
Right, okay. Yeah, because he goes off to that sort of alternate dimension, doesn't he? With Rose's dad, who's alive in that sort of. And then doesn't he end up marrying Martha?
He does. Him and Martha get married, yeah.
Right. Okay. So you want Realtacular, then, I assume.
I do indeed.
Right. Okay. Can I make an argument for Top Sizzlin?
Okay.
Right. I think what puts him and Rose apart is Rose was in the show longer. She's had much more time to develop herself as a character than Mickey has. But I also think there are points for Mickey. Everything you just said.
Yeah.
And also the fact that many Doctor Who characters don't get happy endings. And Mickey sort of did. So, I know Rose did in sort of alternate timelines or timelines where she's not the companion or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think her destiny was always Bad Wolf. So I think that's why she goes up to Realtacular, because you sort of had that from the start, whereas Mickey had to kind of not work more for it, but he had to go through sort of a longer arc, I suppose.
Yeah.
But he did end up with a happy ending, which was very nice to see. I think, I don't know, will this end up in a coin toss? Because I don't think he's quite real. Like, what are we defining Realtacular as? Realtacular is someone who is, like, when you think Doctor Who, you're thinking these people.
Yeah.
that is what we're going to define Rue Tacular as, right? And yeah. Sizzlin is sort of like, oh, they're sort of the stunning, you think.
Okay.
We think Doctor Who, are you thinking Mickey Smith?
I mean, I would.
Right, yeah, well, that's... Well, okay, this is us. Right, I can go for bottom Rue Tacular if you're going to...
Okay, okay. We'll whack him right at the bottom.
Bottom Rue Tacular, he's not getting other rows.
Everyone always goes in front of him.
Right, okay. But now we have Martha, good old Martha Jones.
Yes.
I think a top Sizzlin.
Yeah, I can get with that.
Top Sizzlin, she is a... she's a very feisty companion. She's a very willful companion. She's very. There are that more moments where Tenth Doctor is sort of raving on about something, and she kind of goes, "Hold on, stop. Let's think about this, you know. But what about this?
Yeah.
And then he sort of goes along with her, and he sort of moves to a point. And I quite like that. I quite like how some off companion will have to take charge of the situation purely because the Doctor is very single-minded.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that, so I think she's mid to top Sizzlin. Mid Sizzlin?
Yeah.
Mid Sizzlin. There we go. Now we have Sarah Jane. R.I.P. Elizabeth Sladen, obviously.
Yeah, good old Sarah Jane.
I'm now torn between Sizzlin and Rue Tacular.
I would put her top.
You put her Rue Tacular. I'd say she's been a companion since the classic series. She has the Sarah Jane Adventures, which are amazing.
They're great, thing. Yeah.
Seriously, watch. I know it's a kid's show, but watch the Sarah Jane Adventures. It adds so much to the lore of Doctor Who. It adds so much to the overall experience of watching Doctor Who. The Doctor is even in it.
Yes.
So, at least twice. Yeah, I think Tennant and Smith both show up. So, and I think it's a really good connection to the series, and it sort of adds, like, that alternate view. And yes, it was cancelled. It was... Not really cancelled, it sort of came to an untimely end.
Yeah.
So, I think it got four. It got 4.5 seasons. It got 4 and season 5 that only ran for about 4 episodes. But there was a YouTube video that was written by Russell T. Davies that goes over sort of canon events after the series concluded.
Yeah.
I think that is a must-watch as well, because the cast sort of all come back, and I quite like that. I think it's called Farewell to Sarah Jane or something like that. I can't remember. But, yeah, Sarah Jane Smith, she's going to get at least mid Rue Tacular.
Yeah, that seems fair. Above or below Rose?
Above.
Above, there we go.
Above, there we go. That is a solid mid Rue Tacular right there. No argument about that. Now we have Donna.
Donna.
Right. I have problems.
Okay, what are your problems?
Do you have problems?
Kind of, yeah.
Right. I have problems with the fact that Catherine Tate as an actress is very good.
Yes.
Donna Noble as a character, not so much.
Yeah.
I think the whole sort of the Runaway Bride thing was a bit of a gimmick to start off with. And then, yes, she did have some good moments. There were some moments with the Sontarans and moments with where she sort of regenerated herself through the Doctor's cut off hand from the Sycorax and stuff like that. So I think she does have her points, but overall, I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
She's no better than decent for me.
Okay, I was thinking decent.
Right, you're not going to argue that?
That's, to be fair, I think you've nailed most of it, to be honest.
Fair enough. Right, now we have Clara Oswald.
Someone who you're obviously a big fan of.
Yes, I am. I do like Clara. I like her quite a lot. I think she's got that sort of witty, quippy feeling that a companion needs to have. But also she has that sort of human nature type thing where she will sort of draw Smith back when he's getting too overwhelmed or when he's getting too single-minded about something.
Yeah.
But also, I think... And also, Clara managed to mainstay two Doctors, Smith and Capaldi.
True.
I would have loved to see Clara with Whittaker, but I'm afraid I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
And she does have that destiny, like Rose did. Rose as Bad Wolf, and she has this sort of thing where she's... They call them like... Oh, I don't know what they call them. But she's like loads of people in loads of different times.
Yeah.
And she's like secretly helped the Doctor in each one of them. It's a very Moffat thing to do.
Yeah. But
where she's had like thousands and thousands of identities, and she like pops up with every single Doctor in some way. Like she was on Gallifrey, and she told William Hartnell to take one of the TARDISes.
Yeah.
And she helped like another doctor with, or if you like, bumped into another doctor or something like that. And she's like, through all their lives, she's been there in some sort of small way. And sometimes she interacts with them, sometimes she doesn't. So I think that is, I think she was even with, like, there was like a big Finnish audio drama or something that had her with Paul McGann. Or something like that, I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Paul McGann is the seventh doctor. He's not on this list, but I like Paul McGann. Anyway, Clara, I think she is bottom to mid sizzling, I've got to say.
Yeah, I was thinking. I'll whack her above Martha.
Oh no, I would do that.
Really?
Yeah, she'd go at least behind Martha. There we go.
I'll go with you with that, but.
Right, okay. Why? Do you like Clara more?
I don't know. I find Martha a little bit.
Find Martha a little bit what?
Nah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like the third time he's had a... it's the second time he's had a female companion, because she's before Donna.
Well, it's Rose, Martha, Donna, Clara.
Yeah, and I don't know, I feel like... I think it's because it's like, oh, it's another female companion. It's like, oh, it's the same thing as this bit.
Okay, right. Well, Clara can stay there for the minute.
Yeah.
Well, she might be overtaken by Amy Pond.
Might be.
Now, we are a big fan of Karen Gillan on this show.
She will be. Not only that, this is my... But next two are, like, my favourite companions. Come
really?
At me.
Really? Okay. Well, you're going to have to do some hard arguing.
I am.
I have no problem with Amy. I might have a problem with the next guy.
Nah.
Now, we are, as I said, we are big fans of Karen Gillan on this
yes.
show. And as I think I called myself a simp for her in the last tier list, and I still am.
Yes,
come at
because
me.
Of because of Nebula.
Because Nebula. Because of Amy, probably not. I think Amy is a good character. She sort of introduced that sort of time crack thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called. They're called like, I don't know, some weird word. But they're like cracks in time that are caused by paradoxes. Initially, it was connected to Amy.
Yes.
The Doctor thought it was like it's like a new thing. The Doctor thought like it was to do with Amy, but it actually wasn't. There was actually more of them out there. So.
Yeah.
I think because of that and because of Amy's sort of. Well, no, Amy had a good run, I think. Amy had a very good run. It was a very stable run. It was a very fair run. And I'm happy to say she's top decent to mid-sizzling.
She's also gave birth to River Song.
Did she?
Yes.
Oh. I seem to have... River Song isn't on this list.
No, it's... So what I remember was Rory and Amy have a kid... Kid turns out to be River Song, River Song's doctor's wife. So it's a very weird thing of
right, okay.
Matt Smith's companions give birth to his future wife. It's just very weird.
Right, okay. Well, because of that, I think she needs to go somewhat in sizzling.
Yeah.
Mid, at least. We can pop her above Martha. I'll allow that.
Cool. Right. This is going to be a fun time.
Right, Rory. I have some big problems with
Rory. Rory Williams.
I just think he's a goof. I just think he's just got a goof face, and he just stumbles around being stupid, and I don't think he's got anything going for him.
But the thing is, he's not... The thing I like about him is the fact that he isn't necessarily loyal to the Doctor. He's loyal to Amy, who's loyal to the Doctor. Mm. So it's almost like he kind of wants to be there, but he's not there for the Doctor. He's there for his girlfriend / wife. I don't know if they're married at some point. They do get married at some point. And that's kind of why I like him. Plus, he has the whole thing of, like, he waits 2,000 years. And he dies, and he comes back as a Roman.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know, I've just got... I just think he just bumbles around and not got much to do, to be honest. Like, right, okay, what is Rory's purpose? Is he supposed to, like, be something? Or have some sort of great sort of thing to do?
He guards the cube while Amy's inside it so no one can get to it.
Right.
If he wasn't there, I forgot what would have happened, but the cube he was outside of, she went in it to, like, stop the... Like, I think it was, like, to stop the time vortex crushing in on itself or something. Mm-hmm. But if anything had got to her... then it would have just not worked, and it would have just basically... loads of stuff would have just been bad and would have happened. So,
okay, well, where would you like to put him?
At least sizzling.
I will argue for... I like for top decent to bottom sizzling.
Oh, okay, I'll whack him in bottom sizzling.
Right, bottom sizzling. He's not as good as the 12th Doctor, I think. Right, now we have Bill Potts.
Yep.
Whom I think... I'm really, really sorry. I don't know what your... Do you have an affinity for Bill?
No. She's okay. She served the purpose of a somewhat okay long
She's already gone in air, literally, as you were talking.
It's... I don't think she's as good as... She wasn't bad, but I can't really remember anything either.
To be honest, I wasn't even watching around that point.
That's the one I watched. She's in the one I watched.
Did you? Did you watch Bill's run?
Yeah, she's in the final season of Capaldi, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, right, fair enough, then. Yeah. Now we have another companion of sort of Capaldi. Capaldi had a bit of, like, a squad, didn't he?
Yeah.
Capaldi was rolling with, like, Clara and Bill and this guy, Nardole.
Yeah.
And Matt Lucas. Again, eh.
Yeah, I wasn't...
anything about him. He just seems like one of those characters who is another just bumbling idiot.
Yeah, but you see, I'm pretty sure Nardole literally doesn't do anything.
Right. Is that his character?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love Matt Lucas, but... Mm. It's, yeah.
Fair enough. Right, now we have Wilfred Mott. Good old yes. Bernie Cribbins. I nearly met him when I went to a Comic-Con. I didn't, but he was there. He was there.
Nice.
Good old Bernie Cribbins, right, said Fred. Now, where is he going to go?
I would at least put him in decent, I think.
Yeah, decent. Top decent, I'd say. He's a good friend to the Doctor. He has a lot of stuff with Donna. Obviously, he's their granddad. There you go, pop him there. And... I think he's got a lot of good heart with the Doctor. He runs about with Tennant. It's sort of fun. And also, it's nice to see him, like... I think his character arc is throughout his life, he's had loads of, you know, boring stuff. He's tried to make it entertaining. So when the Doctor comes around, he gets to, like... He gets to actually be in the action and gets to, you know, do what he's always wanted. Now, we have Captain Jack Harkness.
Yes. Here.
Barrowman himself. John Barrowman. Where is he going to slot in here?
In my opinion, he can only go in Real Tacular.
Really?
Yes.
Real Tacular. Right, give me some points there. I'm not gonna fight you. I might, but give me some points for why.
Okay, so he joins in Eccleston's series.
He does. He's been with every Doctor in some way.
Yes.
No, I don't think he's been with Capaldi.
No, and I don't know if he's been with Matt Smith either.
No, I don't think he's been with Smith either.
But he joins, he's early on. Obviously, he has the whole thing of, like, he walks around, flirts with everyone, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back every now and then. It's rumoured, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but it's rumoured that he's the face of Bo.
He is.
Because Jack Harkness can't die. So he's basically just his massive face in a jar.
The face of Bo was going to go on this list, and then I thought, hold on, well, Jack's on the list.
Yes, which you see actually in Eccleston's series as well. You see the face of Bo.
Yeah, you do in Tennant's series as well.
Yes.
I don't know how Jack became a giant face in a jar.
I don't know, actually. But I like him. He's very good. He's very funny. He's very good at, like... The thing I like is he's very good at bouncing off of the Doctor, but because he's not like a companion, and he's not in every single episode, he doesn't get dry. So he can come back.
No, he's always very fresh.
Exactly, he can come back for a bit, do a thing for like a couple of episodes, and he leaves again, and then he kind of comes back. Obviously, also he had Torchwood and that sort of thing. And
yeah, Torchwood is a massive point.
Yeah,
I mean, I only saw the first series. I didn't see much of the rest, but I think Torchwood is a huge point for Captain Jack. So I think he's got to go in mid Real Tacular at the most.
I would say that's fair.
Right.
Above?
Why, were you going to go bottom?
No, I was going to go somewhere around mid anyway.
Mid Real Tacular, fair.
Right.
Now we have the fam, as they're called, by the 13th Doctor.
Mm.
Let's start off with Yaz.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has stuff going for her, but I can't really see it.
I ain't gonna lie. Again, like I said, I've only watched the first season. I can't remember anything she does.
Right. then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. She had her okay moments, I guess. I'll put them above them because I don't like them at all.
Okay.
She has her okay moments.
top air.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think she was okay in the Kablam episode. That was an alright episode.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed that one with the Kablam man.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I can't really think of much about it, to be honest.
Now we have The Chase Is On. It's yes. Bradley Walsh as Graham.
Graham.
Time to face the chaser. I can't believe they've ever made a joke like that on the show.
Yeah, I know, right?
At least have him say The Chase Is On or something like that. Come on. Anyway, it's Bradley Walsh. Purely because it's Bradley Walsh, I want to put him in decent.
Well, I think he's better than Yasmin.
Yeah.
Because he offers that, like, he is basically the worried father of the group. He is the one that's always trying to do something somewhat sensible.
Yes.
Which never happens, because it's Doctor Who. And obviously he's the older one. And he, obviously the guy we'll go on to next is, like, his stepson, and he's trying to bond with his stepson. And I quite like that. I think decent's fair.
Decent, yeah. Also, because it's Bradley Walsh, we've got to give him something.
What are we going? Bottom, top,
go
middle?
Bradders. Yeah, bottom decent.
Bottom decent, there we go.
Go on, Bradders, there he goes. Right, Ryan Sinclair, I have got problems.
Okay.
I think he's so whiny. Why won't he shut up? He's just... I'm sorry, I've not watched much of Whitaker's run. But every episode, he seems to have some form of complaint.
Yeah.
Or some form of problem. I'm like, oh yes, you can have that, but... You would see Martha going around with all of her problems and saying her problems every episode. This guy, it's constant. Like, just you know, cut for once, man. Why are you constantly throwing your problems on the Doctor?
Yeah, okay.
I don't think I'm... I know Itty and Lumpy is empty at the minute.
It is.
Someone's got to go in it.
I don't know if I put him in it.
Oh, really?
No.
I know the next 10 aren't going to go in it.
No.
Maybe one or two. I don't think the next 10 are going to go in it. Will Itchy and Lumpy remain empty? We cannot have that.
I don't think, out of all of them, I don't think Ryan's the one that should go in it, if someone goes in it.
Right, okay. Well, he's not going to get to decent.
No.
We'll not have him getting to decent. He's getting to air, and that is it.
Yeah, I think he's air.
He's getting to mid-air.
He's
not even as good as Bill. I don't even think he's as good as Bill.
He has his moments.
Because Bill didn't whine, right?
No, but like...
Bill wasn't a whiner.
The problem I have with Bill is I can't really remember her arc. All I remember is she's a student at Capaldi's school. She accidentally, like, stumbles across this, like, alien woman, and then she ends up joining him, and that's it, I think.
Right.
And then, like...
Well, at least Bill was a bit positive. This guy, I don't know what his problem is.
Yeah, but he has, I can't remember, because something happens on a train, which is why he meets the Doctor in the first place. It's this weird thing of, like, he's trying to connect with his stepdad, who's Graham.
Yep.
So he has, like, family issues. And then I think if I've got this correct, I think Yasmin's his partner.
Right,
I could be wrong, but I think that's correct. Or at least
it seemed the way to me when I watched the four episodes I've seen of Whitaker's Run. In the game.
They definitely knew each other. I'm pretty sure of that.
Right, now we're getting into the real meat of the list, aren't we? Now we're getting into the real meat. The aliens, the villains. We've got 10. We've got the Cybermen. The Cybermen have already gone to Real Tackle.
They're going up. I hope to. I'd put them there.
No, I don't think. Are they as good as Sarah Jane? We've not even talked about the Cybermen.
Okay, put it this way. If you're watching Doctor Who, right?
Right.
And then, like, a door opens, are you going to be more excited if behind that door is Sarah Jane or behind that door is Cybermen?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'd be excited if there was a Cybermen.
Yeah.
Oh. No, but Sarah Jane's really good. Sarah Jane is really, really good, though. She had her own show. It's not the Cyberman show. I think...
True.
Right. Oh, dear. Okay, I'm going to give you a cart. Can you put the Cybermen behind Sarah Jane? They're not as good as Sarah Jane. But I'll give you a card that you can draw for these next ones if you think... You can, like, disagree with me completely if I have the...
By the way, quick question. What is your favourite version of a Cyberman?
Oh, God. Oh, I like the Mondasian Cyberman. They're cool.
Classic Cyberman. I like the ones I've got the picture of. Obviously, the viewers can't see it. The one with the brain.
The brain one. The Cyber Leader, where he's got a black head. He's got the brain on him. Right.
Tell you what I don't like. I don't like the new one.
You don't have the new, like, sort of blue one?
No, Capaldi did one, and it was, like, supposed to look like the really old Daleks from, like, the classic series.
Yeah.
And that kind of fell flat a bit for me.
You mean Cybermen?
Yes.
Right, okay. What, with, like, the handlebars atop of their head?
Yeah, the weird, like, almost ski mask, sort of.
Ski mask. Cybermen ski mask. They have their catchphrase. They have, delete.
Yes.
And they have those alarm guns, and they walk around, they sort of stomp around. Also, I love how they move. They're just so sort of clanky. They just walk around, stomping about, and they're great. Right, next. Is there any question where these guys are going to go?
I mean, right. First off, they are above Cyberman.
Yes, they are. They're above Sarah Jane.
Yeah, okay. Now, yeah, there we go.
There we go, bang, real tackle of the Daleks. Need I say more? Nicholas Briggs is on absolute fire every time he plays the Daleks. It is fantastic to listen to, fantastic to watch.
Mm.
There's so many different versions, and this I love them all. I've not expressed on this show before how much of a big fan I am of the Daleks. I'm such a big fan that I have, like, a shelf worth of action figures and a big sort of picture of the Daleks. I'm a huge fan, and I can't get enough of the Daleks. I really can't. They're just amazing, and every time they show up, I often only watch the show for the Daleks whenever they show up. I'll just tune into their episode, and I go, right, okay. Even if I've only seen, like, one or two, and then the Daleks show up, oh, yes, I'm going to watch that.
Well, that's the thing, because I haven't seen any of Whitaker's latest season, but obviously in the New Year's episode, the Daleks are in it. I was like, yep, I'm watching that.
Yeah, I'm watching the nice one. You know, they've got their catchphrase, exterminate. They've got all the different versions. They've got the Supreme Dalek, who's like the big white one. You've got the sort of Dalek drones, those bronze Daleks there. You've got the classic Daleks have come back recently in the Capaldi episodes. You know, the blue ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Dalek Sek, the black Dalek. The Dalek Emperor, obviously. I think they're just one of Doctor Who's greatest assets. It's to be argued that the Doctor Who wouldn't have succeeded as far as it did without the Dalek.
Yeah, it definitely helped.
It definitely helped. They are the most, probably one of those recognisable figures in modern British television or in any 100%. Television. Absolutely, 100%. And I think it's an absolute pleasure to see them every time they show up. So yeah, the Daleks deserve real tacular.
Right at the top.
Do you have a favourite... Now, you asked me if you have a favourite Cyberman. Do you have a favourite Dalek?
I do, actually. I have... I have two. So, okay. I like the... and this is going to be controversial, because people don't like them. I like the coloured ones.
The new Paradigm Daleks.
I like them, mainly because of just, I think, the episode itself. But I also like, if I can think of it, I think it's first, is it the special weapons one? It's got like a little dome on his head.
Oh, yeah, the special weapons dome. Yeah. That's from classic. That's from, like, the sort of 70s.
I just think he looks cool. He's got like a little dome on his head.
Special weapons, darling. Yeah, I've got that one, yeah. Me, I think, I love any time they sort of, not so much the Paradigm Daleks, but any time they add on to that sort of Time War design. The sort of bronze 2005 Dalek design. Like the Dalek Supreme from... the Supreme Dalek from the Stolen Earth, where he's red, he's gold, he's got those big sort of neck slats.
Yeah.
Big sort of neck clamps on him. He's got three lights instead of two lights. I think he looks absolutely awesome. And they've sort of expanded on that in some of the Big Finish audio dramas with the Dalek Time Controller, who is my absolute favourite, and it's a damn shame he's never shown up in the actual show.
Yes.
I think that is the Dalek Time Controller is probably my favourite Dalek. Look that up as well, people, on Google. Other search engines are available.
Yes.
That is the Daleks. I think they're an absolute mainstay, and I hope they show up in Doctor Who for the next 50 years.
Right.
Now we have the creator of the Daleks, Davros. Yes,
Mr. Davros himself.
Sat in his little Dalek chair.
Yes, there he is.
Do you think that the Daleks will get higher than Davros will?
Yes.
Now, he's not shown up recently.
No, he hasn't.
When we did this in Peter Capaldi's...
Yeah.
Hmm. He's had a very long run in sort of the Big Finish audio dramas and True. In the classic series. And he's met Sarah Jane and he's met all the sort of Martha and Rose and Tenth Doctor and stuff like that. And Donna. But where is he going to rank here?
Rank it right. Would you put him in Real Techler?
No, I don't think so, no.
I don't think so either.
I think he's sizzling.
Whereabouts in sizzling?
Mid to bottom.
I'll back you on that.
Alright, put him mid then. He goes mid.
Below Clara? After Clara?
After Clara, I'd say. Davros, there he goes.
There we are.
Right. That was a pretty easy decision, actually.
Yeah.
I do like the sort of design of modern Davros, where he has the sort of the metal hand and he's got... He's sat in the big black, you know, Dalek seat. I quite like that. Now we have the Master himself.
Yes.
The other Time Lord, the opposite of the Doctor. Recently we've had sort of Missy and sort of this new Master that is facing Jodie Whittaker's Doctor.
Yep.
My favourite Master has always been John Sim, and I don't think there's going to be any arguments against that.
John Sim
is... We land in Mutacula.
Fantastic. Oh, I think he should at least be in Rotecla.
Right. I don't think... Now, we get to the point where we have to go down the list and look at people. Do we think he's better than this person, better than this person, better than this person?
Yeah.
Is he better than Mickey?
Yes.
Right. Is he better than Rose?
I prefer him to Rose.
Right. I don't think he's getting past Jack.
No.
No. So he is now... He's sort of mid to low Rotecla. But he is very, 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 very good.
Yeah.
And he is one of the sort of... He's very fun, especially John Sim Master. He's very sort of... He's very threatening, but he can also be very fun and very entertaining to watch. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's not shy away from the classic versions of the Master as well.
No, my favourite one, actually, is Mr. Anthony Ainley.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Little beard, short hair.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
There's sort of a reference to that when John Sim Master showed up in Capaldi's series.
Yeah, he's just my favourite.
Yeah. I've got to back John Sim, though. I think he's great. And
the new ones especially, John Sim stands out amongst all of them.
Yeah, of course. He goes in Rotecla. Rotecla is stacking up. Right, it who's is. Next?
Ooh.
Oh, the Santarans.
The Santarans.
Santaha, is that what they say?
Yes, I believe.
They're like little blue soldier men with their little hats and the helmets.
Potato
and
person, as someone called him.
Men. They've shown up in Sarah Jane Adventures,
yep.
Who and both series. They're a real mainstay. It's always good when the Santarans shows up. And they're sort of individual characters. Strax was like a bit of a companion of the 11th Doctor. And Clara, Strax would go around with them. He was sort of a bit of a defective Santaran.
I mean,
judging them as enemies or judging them as characters?
I judge them as, just characters. They're kind of in the middle.
Characters, and they're probably decent to Sizzlin, but as enemies, they're not very.
No.
They're like, okay. No, I've all done massive blows to the dog. The Santarans really, really, really like done in. Nobody.
Mm.
So
good
I
point.
Think the Santarans are probably decent to low Sizzlin.
I would say decent.
Right, okay. Decent it is. But a solid mid-decent. A mid-decent. There we go. That'll do.
Yeah.
We have... These are sort of... They were in the classic series, but they've come back recently. The Silurians.
Yeah, I
don't know. Am I saying that right?
I don't know much about them.
Right, I think they were in Smith's run, and they were also showed up a bit in Capaldi's run.
Yeah.
I know there were certain characters of the Silurians that sort of stood out. But as a race completely, I'm not really behind them.
No.
They have a nice look. I like the look. But, no, I'm not really behind them as sort of characters. I'd say, at the most.
Yeah.
There you go, whack them. Mid-air. I like the sort of alien.
They're better than Bill, I think.
Better than... Now, the Dragoon, a favourite of mine.
But yeah, good old Dragoon.
I like these. I love Platoon on the Moon.
Exactly.
I do like...
That's where they are. They're on the moon.
Yeah, huge rhino in big, you know, black form. I like how they're sort of the space police. I love that idea.
I mean, to be fair, they are pretty much the Suntaran, but better.
Yeah, it's like... it's like the Suntarans have had a bit of a rhino head, and they're now Jadoon. And I do like the design. And they've got this huge... and like laser guns and stuff.
Yeah.
But rhinos. Have shown up in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah, bad.
Against the 13th Doctor. Again, voiced by Biggs, who's also a lot.
Yeah.
Cybermen, Daleks, and now the Jadoon. So, where are they going to go? No, I don't know. I don't think so. I think top decent are the most.
Yeah, they're above.
Yeah, they're above Wilfred. They're above the Suntarans, because I think it's that unique look. It's the unique voice. It's the sort of mannerisms. I think, and the design of the sort of Jadoon captains as well. The big rhinos and the one with the mohawk recently. Right, I can see it slowly drifting up to...
Yeah, give me a second, I need to move it up. There we go.
Okay.
I mean,
now,
it's got to be up there,
hasn't
it?
Where is the Weeping Angels going to go? I see them on the list.
I would... Okay, right, I'm just going to put them where I'd put them.
You've put them in Rotacula already?
Yep.
Now, I'll admit, I'm not scared... Right, Doctor Who villains, scary, right?
There, maybe.
I'm not scared of the Cybermen or the Daleks.
Okay.
Because they're a big metal man and, you know, a dustbin with a skirt covered in disco balls. The Weeping Angels, I am terrified of.
Yes.
Like, when they first showed up in the episode Don't Blink, I could go to sleep. I thought there was one in my bedroom. I was absolutely terrified for weeks of the Weeping Angels.
You know what?
I was afraid there'd be one when I go around the corner. I was afraid there'd be one in the bathroom when I'm having the shower and I close my eyes. I was afraid there'd be one in my bedroom. I was afraid there'd be one in any dark place in the house or in the street or whatever.
You see, that's the thing. It's such a smart design because literally, statues, especially statues of angels, are literally everywhere.
They are, and they're really scary.
You see them all the time.
So I think, and they had a bit of a cameo in the most recent New Year special.
Yeah, in fact, apparently, here's a little rumour, apparently there's been filming pictures, and they're in it for next season.
Are they?
Apparently.
Well, and I think the Weeping Angels, they get the fear factor, the look, not so much, but definitely scary, they are definitely scary. The whole Don't Blink sort of gimmick thing is incredibly terrifying. I was terrified for weeks as a child of the Weeping Angels.
Actually, I'm gonna whack them
at buggers. They're going back to Cybermen. Oh, my God. Right, fair enough then.
I think so, yeah.
They're one of the greatest creations ever given to Doctor Who. So, but they don't quite get up to the Daleks level of...
No. If they appeared more, did more stuff, maybe, but no.
It does seem to have that inverse ninja rule.
Yes.
Where if there's one Weeping Angel, they're incredibly powerful, but if there's loads of them, they're weakened somehow.
Well, this next one's going to be interesting.
The same with the Daleks. Right, now we have the Ood.
The Ood.
Another creation of Russell T. Davis' run.
Yes.
Actually, no, I think they... Did they show up in Eccleston?
Yes.
I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they did, but they showed that they were around more in Tennant.
Yes.
Now, where are they going to... Where would they fit, you think, Ood?
See, I kind of like the Ood. I don't think they're real tacular.
I thought the Ood were quite scary when I first saw them.
Yes.
Even though they're not meant to be sort of villain characters, they're meant to be sort of, I don't know, acquaintances? Sort of.
Yeah, they can be helpful. They can be helpful, and then at some point, I remember an episode where their eyes turned red.
Yeah, they got quite possessed.
Yeah.
But I think... I like them. I've got a bit of a fondness for the Ood.
So do I.
And their sort of look, their sort of big globy thing they hold that makes them speak, and their sort of tentacle face. I quite like them. I think they are, but as characters, I'm thinking more sort of high decent mid sizzling.
I was thinking about mid sizzling.
Right, mid sizzling then. Not quite Davros, though.
Yeah.
But better than Clara. There we go. Right.
And finally,
it's stacking up the sizzling area.
One more left.
The Silence.
It's the Silence.
Now, this is a creation of Smith's run.
Yep, this is Matt Smith era.
Yeah, this is a Moffat era.
Yes.
Alien. Now, no one has gone to Itchy and Lumpy.
No.
And also, I found the Silence quite scary as well.
Yeah, I actually quite enjoyed them.
Yeah, I thought they were quite scary as well. They had a good look. They look kind of like, you know, Slender Man. They've got that sort of look. They wear the suits. They've got the long fingers and long heads. I think... Where would you... Well, I'll refer to you. Where do you, you've seen more of Smith than I have. Where
I
do you think the Silence...
think they're at least decent.
Right, okay. I'm happy with top decent for them.
Yeah, I think top decent's fair.
An interesting list.
It is.
No one has gone to Itchy and Lumpy.
No.
No one has... Itchy and Lumpy is empty. So it just proves how good the show is.
I mean, yeah.
Right, would you like to rattle off who we have?
Right, should we do a...
One at a time. Right, can I say Reeltacular?
Yes.
In Reeltacular, the best of the best, we have the 10th Doctor, the 11th Doctor, the Daleks, Sarah Jane Smith, the Weeping Angels, the Cybermen, Captain Jack Harkness, the Master, Rose Tyler, and Mickey Smith.
And in Sizzling, we have the 9th Doctor, we have the 13th Doctor, we have Amy, we have Martha, we have Davros, we have Ood, Clara, Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor, and Rory Williams.
Now in Decent, which is middle of the road, not too good, not too bad, we have Top Decent, we have The Silence, The Jadoon, Wilfred Mott, The Sontarans, Donna Noble, and Graham.
And in it, we have Yasmin, we have a Silurian, we have Bill, we have Ryan, and we have Nardole. And then he forgot his name then. He's that forgettable.
And in Itchy and Lumpy, there is no one. It is empty. No one is that bad that we outright hate them and don't put them in Itchy and Lumpy. But overall, I think that's a very, very respectable list. It's a good lineup.
List.
And it just proves to the effect that how good Doctor Who is.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good, pretty decent list.
But we have to have a weekly rec.
Yes, we do.
And what is your weekly rec this week?
So, Murray, let me ask you a question.
Okay, far away.
Do you have a favourite Doctor?
I do, yes.
Do you wish your favourite Doctor had more episodes?
Yes, I do.
Well, I have news for you. They do
have, what is it?
They do have more episodes. Mm-hmm. Just in audio form.
Ah.
So, this is why I am recommending not a episode, but in general, that people go out and they check out the audio versions of Doctor Who.
Right. Are we talking about Big Finish productions?
We are indeed.
Excellent. They've been running for the longest time, and they are very audio drop. We're not sponsored by them.
No, we're not.
But if they want to reach out and sponsor us, we will happily take the sponsor. Please, Big Finish, we need a sponsor. Sponsor us. Sponsor the real show. And they've got... they always seem to bring the stars in. They've got Christopher Eccleston has done episodes.
Yeah.
John Hurt as the War Doctor has done episodes.
I think Eccleston's just come back again.
R.I.P., yeah. David Tennant and Matt Smith have done episodes as well, I think.
Yeah.
Nick Briggs is always back as the Daleks. And they always get sort of favourite characters in as well. So... it's a great continuity as well. It's great continuity with... and all the Big Finish stuff is canon. So
yes.
It all actually happened. Which is great. And again, they have... I mentioned that my favourite Dalek is a Dalek that's only in the Big Finish audio dramas.
Exactly. So, you might find your favourite characters in the audio dramas.
You might
dramas.
Find your favourite new characters in there as well. They're absolutely great. But I think this is unprecedented. What would you give the Big Finish audio dramas in terms of
9.
9, I was going to go 9 as well.
Overall,
an
9.
An amazing 9. A fantastic 9. A
yes.
Fantastic
9.
Christopher Eccleston. Or a brilliant 9, in the words of Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah.
She says brilliant, doesn't she?
Yes. I don't know what Capaldi says.
What does Capaldi say?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Don't be lasagna. He says that at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
But did you, well, yeah, but I only see a couple of scenarios where that phrase would be appropriate. And all of them include lasagna. But to play us out today,
yeah,
we've selected a very appropriate song, Corey.
We have indeed.
We have Starman by David Bowie from 1969, which played in the 2005 episode. It was Aliens of London, which is from the New Who Series 1 with Christopher Eccleston.
Yep.
And also tune in to the real show in the next few weeks. We'll be having a plethora of Doctor Who specials, so I think it'll be very entertaining for you all.
Yeah, strap yourselves in.
Yeah, get ready. Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, that a solo said. Then the loud sound, it seemed to fade. Came back like a slow voice on a wave of fade. That were no DJ, that was hazy. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, 'cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me, let the children use it. Let the children use it. Let all the children do get. There's a star.